Welcome to Idle Chatter, brought to you by the Machinery Digest, where steel and soil meet. A weekly podcast by a New Jersey farmer to all farmers and ranchers across this great nation. And yes, there are farms in New Jersey. Regardless of the crop you grow or the livestock you raise, we all have one thing in common. Agriculture runs on passion, sweat, tears, and machinery, and that is why the Machinery Digest exists, a no-nonsense, grease-under-your-fingernails educational website. It was created to provide a transfer of knowledge so that you can maintain, service, and most importantly, understand today's complex farm equipment. My name is Ray Bohax, and I farm too. It is time now to get under the sheet metal. Welcome to Idle Chatter by Ray Bohax, also known as the Hot Rod Farmer. Well, this is my first full podcast. The other podcast was numbered 00, which was basically an introductory podcast, because I wanted to get you to get to know me, and also for you to get to know a little bit about the farmmachinerydigest.com website and what is available to you on that. Please keep in mind that the website and this podcast is for you. It is my sincerest desire to help American agriculture in the only way that I know how, and that is through education on machinery. Because remember, it is not what you make, it is what you keep. And any profit that you make on the farm, or great yield bump, or marketing move, or what have you, can very easily be lost in the farm shop through a lack of knowledge or a wrong decision. So that is what we're all about here. I hope to have an interesting show for you today. It is my desire for that to be. And I'm going to discuss a couple of different things. But first, I want to just tell you a little bit of a story. Where we farm in New Jersey has really changed a lot over the years. And we're only about 55, 60 miles from New York City, out I-80, and right west of the George Washington Bridge. And probably about 25, 30 years ago, it was actually quite a little hamlet here. It basically, you wouldn't have known whether you were in Iowa, New Jersey, Pennsylvania, Ohio, other than the topography of the land. It was very rural and a lot of agriculture. And then over time, the city grew out, grew west, and it is still a beautiful area to live in. I'm blessed to have the farm here. But it's not like it was years ago. Things have changed. There's more traffic, more people, and also the attitude of people have changed. So sadly, I guess that's the way of the world. But anyway, I used to remember many years back, and we used to have a couple of cafes, or we call them coffee shops here on the East Coast, or general stores, and I know lots of parts of the country call them cafes. And as a younger man, I used to like to go there and sit and listen to the old-time farmers talk and jaw it up, and there was no lack of opinions in those cafes, coffee shops, general stores, whatever you call them in your neck of the woods. And it was often very entertaining, probably better than TV, to just sit on the side and listen. And I still love to do that today. I love to go someplace and I love to listen, because if you listen to people, then you could really get the gist of what is going on. And oftentimes, those conversations were opinion espoused to be fact. And I think that still happens today. Sadly, we really don't have a coffee shop anymore where the farmers congregate. But there is a barber shop where I go to get a haircut. John's Barber Shop in Oxford, New Jersey. And John's son Joe runs it now. And it's a politically incorrect barber shop. Everything that we talk about would probably be politically incorrect. And it is a great place. And I've replaced the coffee shop or the cafe with the barber shop. And when I go to get a haircut, I like to sit there and listen to the people talk. And it's basically the same thing. A lot of opinion represented as biblical truth. So one of the conversations I often hear and is talking about fuel and about gasoline and about diesel fuel and what have you. And I've very easily come to see that most of the information that's being bantered around is useless. So it has maybe one or two elements of truth or fact in it, and the rest of it is just baloney, to be quite simple. So for today's podcast, I want to discuss with you the difference between cetane and octane. And I think that's really important for a farmer to understand that, because we do use a lot of fuel on the farm, predominantly diesel fuel, but we also use gasoline to a much lesser extent than most road vehicles are powered by gasoline. So it's important for us to understand what the difference is between cetane, octane, and how it's going to impact you on the farm. Well, if you go into town and you go to the gas pump, we'll start with gasoline, that you'll go to the pump, and depending upon the part of the country you're at, there'll be different blends of gasoline. But as a common denominator, we'll use three blends. They usually have what they call a regular blend, they have a mid-grade, and they have a premium or high test, depending upon the marketing terminology that oil refiner uses. And they always have, and those identify an octane of the fuel. So the question now becomes, what actually is octane? If you were to query a number of people, they would tell you that it's the power that the gasoline has. And, you know, over in the barber shop I hear, oh, I'm putting high octane in it because it's got more power. And then somebody else is arguing with him incorrectly, right for the wrong reason, but that's the way it is. So you go up to the pump and you have three basic octane levels. There are other things that come along with those different grades of fuel, and that usually is an additive package, and we'll discuss that a little bit later into this podcast. So, what is octane? Now, stay with me on this, because it's very easy to understand, but at first, the verbiage may sound confusing. Octane is the fuel, the gasoline's ability to resist combustion through pressure and heat and wait for the arcing of the spark plug. So it's the fuel's ability to resist high pressure and high heat and wait for the arcing of the spark plug. In a spark ignition engine, which is a layperson, we would call it a gasoline engine, when everything goes right, that's called a normal combustion event. And if things go wrong, it's called an abnormal event. And what is the concept that could go wrong? Well, the concept that could go wrong is that you have a flame start prior to the arcing of the spark plug. To the layperson, that's when the engine pings or knocks. So octane's ability is for the fuel to wait for the arcing of the spark plug and not auto-ignite through pressure or heat. So the higher the octane number of the fuel, then its ability to wait and endure more pressure and heat comes along with that. So higher octane fuel can wait for more pressure and heat than lower octane fuel. So once you understand that, you'll realize that that is all octane is. It has nothing to do with the power potential of the gasoline. The power potential of the gasoline is actually read in energy content, which is BTU, British Thermal Units. And the average gallon of gasoline, regular grade gasoline, has between 117 and 121,000 BTU per gallon. And the reason why I'm saying regular gasoline, when I just told you that the octane has nothing to do with the power, well, it has nothing to do with the power of the gasoline, but in some fuel companies use some additives to raise the octane chemically that actually diminishes some of the BTU of energy, potential energy in that gasoline. And remember, what does an engine do, be gasoline or diesel? It converts chemical energy to mechanical energy. So that is all an engine does. It's a conversion. It's a conversion from chemical to mechanical energy. So the higher the octane fuel, it'll resist combustion through pressure and heat to a higher level. The lower the octane fuel, it will ignite very easily. All right, so now we're going to break away from that for a minute, so just stay with me, and we're going to talk about cetane. Cetane is a qualifier that is used for diesel fuel, and many people think that it is the same as octane, and that is not true. It's only a partial truth. Cetane is the qualifier that we use to identify one component of the diesel fuel. And it's the exact opposite. It's the polar opposite of octane. Cetane is the fuel's eagerness to ignite, whereas octane is the fuel resisting combustion through pressure and heat. The cetane value of diesel fuel is its eagerness to combust. The higher the cetane value, so if you have a cetane rating of 40 versus 35, then the 40 fuel is more eager, has a greater level of eagerness to combust. And that is very important in a diesel engine because the diesel, why it's called compression ignition, heats the air in the cylinder to such a point that the fuel auto-combusts. So it's the exact opposite of a gasoline engine. So the higher the cetane value of the diesel fuel will mean that that fuel is more eager. It'll combust sooner at a lower temperature, which is what you actually want on a diesel engine, and it's the opposite of what you want on a gasoline engine. And why is that so? Well, if you could get the fuel to combust sooner in a diesel engine, then you will use more of that potential energy to drive the crankshaft. So it's a greater level of chemical to mechanical energy exchange. And a diesel engine will talk to you. One of the things, its combustion event is very noisy. Within the engineering community, we have a term called NVH, which is noise, vibration, and harshness. And the diesel combustion event will talk to you. And if you have low cetane fuel, then it'll be a coarser combustion. It'll be a rougher sounding combustion. That does not to be confused with the engine running rough. It'll be a rougher, harsher, unpleasant combustion sound than with a higher cetane fuel. Because what will be happening is that fuel will actually be igniting later in the piston's movement in the bore. So instead of having the full potential energy of the fuel pushed down on the piston as the flame expands, the piston would have already be coming down slightly in the bore because the fuel was very lazy to ignite. So if you want to think of cetane as the fuel's laziness or eagerness, that would be a proper way to look at it. So you want to have the highest cetane possible. Most fuel that you will buy in the United States is around 40 to 45 cetane. And interestingly enough, a lot of manufacturers of vehicles, and I do not know if this is true with farm equipment, I doubt it, but with pickup trucks, for instance, Ford ships all of their Power Stroke powered pickup trucks from the factory with 50 cetane fuel, whereas subsequently most people will be putting 40 to 45 cetane fuel in it afterwards. So the higher the cetane, the sooner that the combustion will take place, and then you will have more chemical to mechanical energy exchange. Getting back to a gasoline engine for a minute, on a gasoline engine, what's going to happen is that if that fuel auto-combusts, so detonation or ping, because it does not have enough octane, then there is actually two flame fronts colliding with one another. There's the flame that started through the abnormal combustion, the auto-combustion event, and then eventually, a few microseconds later, the flame starts from the spark plug, propagates out from the arcing of the spark plug. The way I like to teach this when I teach in the agricultural industry and automotive industry is there used to be an old movie by John Wayne. It probably came out in the 60s, and it was called Hellfighters. And I think it was based upon Red Adair's life in Texas. And he was very famous for putting out oil well fires in the Texas panhandle there. And the way they would put out an oil well fire, and I don't know if they still do it the same way today, is they would actually take a crane and put a small explosive device in and move it into the middle of the flame coming out of the oil well, and they would ignite the bomb or the explosive device, and that would actually blow out the oil well fire, because you would blow out and push all the oxygen out and consume it, and you would separate the oxygen from the oil, and it would stop. The oil would still be spurting out of the well, but there would be no more flame. So you could think of that the same way in a gasoline engine. When a gasoline engine detonates, pings, whichever term you're familiar with, there actually is an aside to this. There actually is an engineering qualifier for ping, detonation, pre-ignition, post-ignition, but for this particular discussion, we don't need to go there. And when the engine talks to you and it's pinging and knocking, what's actually happening is you have a flame front that first started because of the fuel's inability to resist pressure and heat, and started to go across the bore, and then you'd have the second flame front, a few microseconds later, which is thousands of a second later, originating from the spark plug and propagating out, and then what will happen is they will hit each other, and when they hit each other, they collide, and that causes a shock wave that goes down into the piston, the connecting rod, and the bearing. And the pinging sound you hear is actually the piston and the rod and the bearing rattling. That's why it sounds like a rattling, because it's actually rattling in the bore. And it's of great detriment because there's a pressure spike there, and that rattling will affect the life of the engine. But as an aside to this, also, when you have detonation in a gasoline engine, abnormal combustion, then there is an emission called oxides of nitrogen that goes very, very high. And oxides of nitrogen is one of the main reasons why diesel engines have such complicated emission controls on Tier 4 with a diesel particulate filter, diesel oxidation catalyst, and predominantly for oxides of nitrogen, an SCR, supplemental catalytic reduction, that uses diesel exhaust fluid. So both gasoline engines and diesel engines produce oxides of nitrogen, which actually impacts the ozone layer in the air. So, and oxides of nitrogen are produced through pressure, heat, and exposure time. Exposure time meaning the length of the combustion event. So what will happen is that when a gasoline engine detonates, not only are you destroying the engine internally, but you're putting out a lot of emissions, and because of those two flame fronts, you are not getting the most potential energy from that gasoline. So the chemical to mechanical energy exchange is reduced. Another way I like to explain that, when I'm in the classroom or giving a lecture at one of my workshops, and if you go onto the website and you click under the Learn tab on farmmachinerydigest.com, you'll get to a listing of my workshops, and they're free to all attendees. So I just wanted to put that in there. But if you ever went on a boat and went on a lake, and you have two boats going, passing each other in opposite directions, when the two wakes collide, they'll splash up. And that's actually what's happening in a gasoline engine when there is detonation. The two flame fronts are colliding, and they blow each other out, and then the shock wave from that collision of the flame goes into the engine and into the engine components, the bearing, the pistons, and the rings, and they end up wearing them excessively, along with the other things we said. Now, to get back to diesel cetane, one of the problems that we have in the industry is that diesel fuel is a commodity. It is sold like grain. It's actually, if you look at the New York Mercantile Exchange and maybe the Chicago Board of Trade, I don't know if it's on there, but you could look in the Wall Street Journal or go online and see that diesel fuel is traded as a commodity. And it is put through a pipeline and it is all mixed together. And just like corn, if you were to harvest your crop and you would go to the grain elevator, well, this guy brought a 110-day Pioneer there, another one brought 98-day Micogen seed, and one is another variety, another hybrid, and it all goes into the grain elevator and it gets sold and mixed together. It's no perceivable difference between the kernels of corn like that. And the same thing happens with diesel fuel. And there is an industry standard for cetane, but it is basically a honor system, and it is not really a guideline that the government truly enforces, and most diesel fuel sold in the United States is around 40 cetane. And that is good, it is fine, but it is truly not, if you spoke to an engineer that developed a diesel engine, is that he wants a lot more than 40 cetane. He probably wants up near 50 cetane to get the most power and life out of that engine and the best fuel economy. And also keep in mind that with today's engines on both farm equipment and road vehicles, with diesel engines with Tier 4 emissions, is that when you have lower cetane fuel, that combustion process is not as efficient and it raises all of the emissions, which then taxes the diesel oxidation catalyst, the diesel particulate filter, which would cause more regeneration cycles, and then also the supplemental catalytic reduction, the SCR system, which would cause the vehicle or the machine to use more diesel exhaust fluid. So the whole idea is you basically want to try to run the highest cetane fuel as possible, and that'll make the engine much happier, the combustion event will be quieter, and you will build less deposits on the pistons, the rings, less pollution in the oil, and just be a happier camper all along. So now, how do you... The problem is that when you buy diesel fuel, if you go to town and go up to the pump, there may be a sticker that says this is minimum 40 cetane, or there may not be. I know over here in New Jersey, where I farm, only one brand of gas, which used to be Hess, and then it was bought out by Marathon Oil, and is now Speedway here. They have a sticker on the pump that says a minimum of 40 cetane. So hopefully that's what you're getting. But it's very simple. With a diesel engine, what you could do is you could add a cetane booster. I look at diesel additives, and I'm going to do a podcast on that probably a month or two from now, 4, 5, 6 weeks from now. I don't want to have them all about fuel. Is that I look at diesel fuel additive as I do crop protection. You want as many modes of action. For instance, on our sweet corn, we use Acuron. We used to use Lumax, and now we use Acuron, which is three modes of action. It's three different groups. I think it's a 15. I don't remember. I shouldn't be saying it, but it is three modes of action. Three different groups of action. I should really know that, right? But anyway, and if you look at a diesel fuel additive, you could buy a product that's just a cetane booster, and that is what's called chemical cetane. It is a little different than the natural cetane that is created in the refined fuel, but nonetheless, they both have the same effect. They just get there in a different way. So when the fuel is refined, the oil into diesel fuel, it is called natural cetane, and when you add a chemical to the fuel, that's called chemically induced cetane. But they both have the same effect of making the fuel more eager to ignite. What I like to do is look for as many modes of action in the fuel additive that I'm putting in my diesel fuel as possible. And if you look around, I use a company from Buffalo, New York called FPPF Total Power, and that actually has seven modes of action. So it treats the fuel in seven different ways, just like a herbicide that would have multiple modes of action is much more effective. But you could also buy just a cetane improver. And if you put that cetane improver in, it will raise the cetane of the fuel and the engine will like that. It will not do anything else unless you have multiple modes of action. With gasoline, they do have octane additives, but you're probably better off buying the octane at the pump. It's cheaper and easier to work with. But I do want to, I don't want to mislead you here. The thing basically is that if your gasoline engine runs fine on 87 octane fuel, then you are golden. You do not need to invest in any more octane. And today's modern engines have a very, very good combustion chamber. And the combustion chamber has a very quick burn rate. The flame travels very quickly across the bore. And why that is important is that think of a rabbit crossing a road or a turtle crossing a road. If a rabbit crosses a road, he runs very fast, and the likelihood of him getting run over is not that great. A turtle crosses very slowly because, by the way God made him, he is not fast, and he has much more of a likelihood or possibility of getting run over because his exposure time when he's in the road is longer. Well, the same thing happens in a gasoline engine. If you have a combustion chamber design that has a very fast burn rate, then it's the rabbit. The exposure time for something to go wrong, and in engineering, what we call the going wrong, is an abnormal combustion event or a rogue flame front starting, is diminished greatly. So with a slow burn, it has the likelihood of another flame starting is much greater. And today's engines have very quick combustion chambers, very quick burn rates. And for the gearheads in there, flame speed is measured in meters per second. That's the metric that is used to measure it. So with today's modern engines, they have a very fast burn rate in the combustion chamber, and that means that they could run a high compression ratio. And compression ratio in an engine doesn't necessarily give you power. It gives you thermal efficiency or fuel efficiency in lay terms, and be able to use low-octane fuel. So you do not, I don't want you to listen to this and say, I'm going to go out and just pay 30, 40 cents a gallon more for high-octane fuel. A good metric, a good test for you to do is that if you were to put higher octane fuel in the engine of your car, truck, whatever it may be, and you got better performance or better fuel economy, then you know that it was experiencing some abnormal combustion detonation or ping that you may not have heard. And also the modern engine today has a lot of electronic controls that if it hears detonation, it actually changes the spark advance curve to eliminate it. But we won't get into that there. But a well-tuned, carbon-free gasoline engine will run extremely well on 87-octane fuel and will see no increase in performance, drivability with a higher octane fuel. And that's your key. All of my gas engines, I run 87-octane fuel, but I make a concerned effort to use a good fuel additive like Chevron Techron fuel systems cleaner to keep the piston crown and the intake valve clean from carbon deposits, which would want to cause abnormal combustion. So before we get into our special delivery section, which basically is letters that people have written to me with questions or problems, I just want to recap this. Very simple. I took you all around, and I appreciate you staying with me for this. Octane is the fuel's ability to resist combustion through pressure or heat and wait for the arcing of the spark plug. The higher the octane of the fuel, the more resistance it has. It has nothing to do with power. If the engine makes more power with higher octane fuel, that is simply because it was knocking or pinging and there was a reduced chemical to mechanical energy exchange. Cetane, on the other hand, is the fuel's eagerness to ignite. The higher the cetane, the more eager the fuel is to ignite, will give you faster starts, better throttle response, better fuel economy, more performance, and less emissions. So the higher the cetane, the better it is on diesel fuel, and it is the eagerness to ignite. So the octane and cetane are actually the polar opposites of one another. And if you go to the website, if I don't have it up yet, I will be having an article about octane and cetane to reiterate this. So now to move on to our special delivery segment. Special delivery is a segment that I include when I have the opportunity, when somebody sends me a letter. And so if you have any questions about anything, what have you, it could be a problem you have with an engine, a vehicle, a piece of farm equipment, tractor, combine, irrigation pump, and or you just want something clarified, send it to hotrodfarmer@farmmachinerydigest.com. And I will either respond to you directly through an email, and sometimes I also like to call people because it's a lot easier to have a dialogue over the telephone than to send emails back and forth 50 times. And I may also include your letter in the podcast. So I have two letters here today, and let me see, they didn't type to they type clearly, but for some reason not too dark. Okay, and this was from Keith, and I believe that he is in North Carolina. And I will read it verbatim. I have a JCB backhoe 1988 or 1989 model 1400B. It has a Perkins engine in it around 95 horsepower. After running it a couple of hours and it getting to maximum temperature, it will start skipping and runs, I got to change the page, runs out of fuel. I have put an electric inline fuel pump on it, but it still runs out of fuel. It only does this after it gets good and warm. It is not running hot. I will not keep the fuel. It will not keep the fuel filter on the top of the engine full. It does have a small leak on the main fuel injector pump when it is running. My father bought the backhoe new, and when he died, he left it to me. I don't want to get rid of it because I use it on the farm I have, but it is dollar after dollar, and I can't keep spending money I don't have. And I'm afraid the injector pump is the problem. Can you point me in the right direction to start without breaking the bank? Thanks, Keith, Boonville, North Carolina. Well, thanks so much for contacting me, Keith. Well, first of all, I want to say to you that, to my way of thinking, that backhoe is kinfolk. Your dad bought it back 30 years ago. It's been in the family since new. To me, machinery becomes kinfolk. So let's forget about getting rid of it, and let's fix it. From your letter, what I tend to think is happening is the fuel is becoming aerated. Now, I do have a concern with, you said that there is a leak at the injection pump, but you're not saying where it is. So I don't know whether it's at the injection pump prior to the lines going to each injector or the fuel inlet. But regardless, that should not impact the fuel filter running out of fuel, that because the fuel filter is going to be before the injection pump, and there's usually a fuel water separator before the lift pump, and then there's a fuel filter sometimes in some applications before the lift pump, and then again after the lift pump to the injection pump. What I think is happening is that you're getting entrained air bubbles into the fuel system. And keep in mind that a diesel engine pumps more fuel than it uses, so it always recirculates that fuel and brings it back to the tank because it's pumping more than it uses. So I tend to think what's happening, and I've seen this before, the only problem is that you have to be Sherlock Holmes and you have to look for it, is that I think when the fuel is getting hot, there is either a porous line, a porous hose, or a connection. Lots of times in the fuel tank, you'll have a pickup tube that has a hole in it, and it's becoming and sucking in air. Or I can't tell you where the air is coming from, but I feel very well convinced that it's sucking in air and starting to lose its siphon and introducing air bubbles into the system. What I would do, and I know that oftentimes this is easier said than done, go into town and get some clear plastic fuel line. And you're not going to keep it on there for too long, so don't worry about it as long as it could. Diesel fuel is much less aggressive than gasoline as far as eating a plastic line is concerned. But you need to put a clear plastic line from the lift to the lift pump, a section of it, and from the lift pump to the injection pump. And then and what you want to do is you want to run the backhoe and get it into the situation that causes the fuel for it to run out of fuel. It's basically running the fuel filter dry. And then have a helper or yourself, you could get off it and have it running, and look to see whether there is a lot of air bubbles in that system and where you are losing the fuel. By using the clear line, you're able to identify where the fuel is lost because you won't see it. And you'll keep in mind, as soon as you start the machine with the clear line on and it's cold, you know, put eyeballs on that so you have some qualifier to see, you know, how much entrained air there may be initially, and then that'll give you a good idea of what's happening. And then once you see where that fuel is going backwards, it's going to be a seek and search mission. You're going to have to go out and see why it's sucking air or why it's losing the siphon. I would tend to think that's probably got a bad connection going to the fuel tank or something going on in the fuel tank because you put an electric lift pump in it and it's still causing the same problem. So hopefully that has helped you and helped others, is that, you know, always keep in mind that, and that's true with a gasoline engine too, if you have entrained air in the fuel, it's going to disturb everything, especially on a fuel-injected engine. So you always want to try to look and see. On the diesel, very, very common, and it's very easy to, in relative terms, it's easy to put some clear line in there and see what's happening. Interestingly enough, the second question I have today is a fuel system question also, and I didn't choose these because I spoke about octane and cetane. I just happened to pull them off the email. And let me see what this gentleman says. His name is Ronald, and he writes, "Hi, sir. I acquired a 1985 Hino Moto E152. The gentleman said he cut a field with no issues, came in for lunch, shut it off as normal. After lunch, all it would do is turn over but not start. Any ideas where I should start? Troubleshooting. The engine, the tractor only has 400 hours on the engine. I'm thinking fuel delivery. He hasn't changed the fuel filter in 2 years. No other issues in the same period. Thank you for your help." Okay. Well, first of all, I've never even seen a Hino Moto. I actually shouldn't say that. I saw one in my life, and believe it or not, in Cheyenne, Wyoming. With my wife, we were walking from the hotel to a restaurant. There was one sitting in the edge of a field. And I did look up this model on the internet, and it was what I thought. It's a small little subcompact tractor. It's about 18 horsepower with a two-cylinder diesel engine. And the way a diesel, when you shut the key off on a diesel engine, shut the ignition off on a diesel engine, not really ignition, in almost every application, there is a solenoid that shuts the fuel off at the injection pump. And that is how the engine shuts off. And that's why often most diesels, especially older mechanical ones, when you shut them off, they actually sometimes even go maybe like a one firing event longer or half a stroke longer, and they don't shut off like a gas engine, because you actually have to, if there's a fuel event that is started, that's going to have to finish before, because the fuel is shut off at the pump. An educated guess that I have with this is that the something happened with the fuel shutoff solenoid and or the wire to it. He said he was mowing a field. I don't know what the field looked like. Sometimes you'll get brush that'll catch on a wire and unplug it. But I would find the fuel shutoff solenoid, and I would take a paper clip and I would jump out that wire. All it is a solenoid, so it has 12 volts on one side and ground, and it opens up a passage, usually has like a ball and seat in it, to get the fuel to flow. So I would find that, and I would start there by jumping out that solenoid, that fuel shutoff solenoid, and then see if you get fuel to it. And then if not, then I would backtrack and see what's going on. I mean, it does have a lift pump also, and it's not impossible if it has a diaphragm-style lift pump that the diaphragm failed. You would tend to think that it wouldn't fail so quickly, but that's also a possibility. But if I were a betting man, and I am a betting man because I farm, right? So, but I'm betting with God with that one, so that's a difference. And I would look at that fuel shutoff switch, the fuel shutoff solenoid. So listen, thank you so much for listening to the podcast. I greatly appreciate it, and I'm honored to those who listen and who come onto the website. And just know that the Hot Rod Farmer here is pulling for America and pulling for the American farmer. May God bless you. You have a blessed day, and hopefully you'll listen next week.